Now, our panel this week are James Lawless, Minister of State at the Department of Transport and Fianna Fáil TD for Kildare North, Breed Smith, People Before Profit TD for Dublin South Central, and Piers Doherty, Sinn Féin TD for Donegal, and his party spokesperson on finance. He joins us down the line from Athlone today. We want to begin today with migration, specifically some of the commentary we heard in recent days from Taoiseach present and past, as well as some in opposition. In case you missed it, the former Taoiseach, Leo Varadkar, gave an interview to a university newspaper in the United States in which he said that the rate of immigration into Ireland had been too high and that it had happened too quickly. Those comments followed the remarks by the current Fine Gael Taoiseach, Simon Harris, in an interview with the Sunday Times last weekend, in which he said the present levels of homelessness were, quote, heavily impacted by the number of asylum seekers who had arrived here. And we also heard in the Dáil this week a contribution by Sinn Féin's Piers Doherty, who we'll hear from shortly. He said the ongoing scheme through which householders who accommodate a Ukrainian refugee for a monthly payment of €800 is reducing the supply in the private rental market. Well, Tom McEnany is the founder of Effective Aid Ukraine. We're going to speak to him briefly before we go to the panel. He joins me now. Tom McEnany, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Colm.
Just that summation of the political debate around the issue of immigration and asylum seekers we heard during the week. What did you make of it?
It's strange that particular politicians are focusing on migrants at the moment. I'd like to think it was for good reasons. I'd like to think that politicians aren't appealing to a particular part of their electorate coming up to election time. I'm not sure. I'm always convinced of that. I mean, on paper, of course, ostensibly, we would all prefer if there were fewer migrants coming into Ireland. We would prefer if fewer migrants needed to come into Ireland. We would prefer if there weren't wars in Syria, if there weren't wars in Gaza. We would prefer if Russia didn't invade its peaceful neighbours and require women and children to flee en masse to countries such as Ireland. Unfortunately, we don't live in a world like that. And therefore, as one of the richest countries in the world, as a country that has signed up to various international agreements, we have a responsibility to accept and accommodate and look after people who are seeking asylum. And I think most people, and we've seen from the experience on the ground, that most Irish people would feel that the government should react to those people, should welcome those people with a certain level of compassion. And in the early parts of the full-scale invasion of Ukraine, we saw that at a government level, we saw that at an organisation level. We still see that with ground roots organisations, but at a political level, it has been somewhat lacking over the last 6 months.
All right. I mean, the area you look at is that of Ukrainian refugees. That's the organisation you work with. Can I ask you specifically, we'll hear from Piers Doherty shortly about the comments he made in the Dáil about the €800 payment to those who offer accommodation to Ukrainians. But can you outline the advantages or otherwise of that payment in your view?
Of course. So in my view, and I think in the view of any logical appraisal of the situation at the moment, the easiest and quickest way for the government to significantly worsen the accommodation crisis in Ireland right now would be to restrict or abolish the accommodation recognition payment scheme. And let me tell you why. At the moment, we have, and this isn't rent, by the way, it's a recognition payment of €800 per month. It goes to a person who has brought a Ukrainian, usually into their home. 71% of people in receipt of these payments have Ukrainians in a spare bedroom. Of the remaining 29%, many are people who have made a holiday home, which wouldn't otherwise be available on the open market, made it available to Ukrainians. These are people who are not motivated by the money, but in many cases might not be able to do it without getting some kind of assistance. It amounts to €9,600 per year. And people are saying, yes, but that's money that's not available to Irish people, which is disingenuous, because under the rent-a-room scheme, which is exactly equivalent, people can get up to €14,000 per year rent-free in order to rent a room in their scheme. So the same or an equivalent scheme is available to Irish people, and it's much more lucrative. If you restrict, or God forbid, were to abolish it, that means that the 26,700 Ukrainians currently availing of this rent-a-room scheme, and remember, this is accommodation which would not normally be available in the open market. But what you're doing is you're doing one of two things. You're either forcing them into the private rented sector, which, as we know, can't accommodate an extra 27,000. So they are now competing with other people who are already finding it hard to find accommodation. Or you're putting them into other government centres, which already are packed. So you're requiring the government to open up new, to take over hotels across the country in order to accommodate.
I think the rate at the moment, the beneficiaries of temporary protection, which Ukrainians are at the moment, that 90-day limit of state-funded accommodation or state accommodation is in place now. And those exiting, I think 48% find themselves in the private market and a further 15% find themselves residing in other types of state accommodation, the likes of tents.
And when they're in state accommodation, even if it's tents, it costs the state an average of about 45 euros per day per person. Under the ARP, it's only 14 euros per day per person. So in the best case scenario, they would be going into state accommodation and the state would be paying, and this is the best case scenario, the state would be paying a multiple of what it's already paying for the same Ukrainians. Okay. So it doesn't make any sense. It would be more expensive and it would significantly worsen the accommodation crisis.
All right. Tom McEnany, thanks very much for joining us. Piers Hardy will pick up on the issue there, because Tom McEnany finished up there talking specifically about Ukrainians. You were taking issue with the 800 euro that's been paid to hosts who opened their home to Ukrainian refugees. Could you just explain why?
Yeah, so this is something that we raised in February. We had a vote in it in the Dáil when the government decided to extend the scheme. And what we argued for at that time was that those who open their homes, who live in their own homes and open up the room, then they should be continued to be supported, but that we should not displace properties that should be on the rental market or indeed in relation to rental room schemes like Digs. So what we've seen since that time, since the start of the year, is there's about an extra 1,000 properties coming onto the market. There's about 16,000 properties now at this stage, and it's growing by 1,000 each month. And there's reasons for that, because of what other changes that have happened in relation to Ukrainian accommodation. The issue here is a fundamental one about fairness. So Tom mentioned that, you know, if you rent a room, you get the same support. No, you don't. If you rent a room, and your listeners will know this, if you're a student and you're renting a room off somebody who's opened up your home, the state doesn't pay for your accommodation. You pay for it yourself. The beneficiary of that payment actually is allowed to have so much tax-free, but you pay for it yourself. And that's the core issue here.
All right, but I suppose just the point you were making in the Dáil during the week was you were saying that, you know, people who would otherwise be putting properties into the market. So from the host's point of view, they don't really care where the money is coming from, whether it's a renter paying 14,000 or a Ukrainian on whose behalf 10,000 might be paid. And that's not per person. That's just for opening the house to one, two, three, a family of Ukrainians.
So let's be clear, as I said before, this isn't what we're not talking about here is people who are opening their homes themselves to families of Ukrainians. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about empty homes that are being rented to Ukrainian families where the state pays the rent for those and it is unfair and it is competing in the terms of the private market.
Sorry, so just can I clarify something with you then? So when you mention student digs, for example, are student digs not traditionally in somebody's home, sometimes with meals being provided by the host family? So how do you distinguish between the people who open their homes for digs and for people who just opened their homes to Ukrainians?
So the amendment that we said that it shouldn't be available for any home that previously involved themselves in the rent-a-room scheme. So if they were involved in the rent-a-room scheme last year, maybe through students that were availing of DICS, they can't turn around and now avail of this through the Ukrainian 800 euro. And we know the 800 euro isn't 800 euro. It's worth a lot more to the landlord because it is tax-free. So it's worth about 1,600 euro. And look, this is the real lived experience here. Let me just explain this. In parts of the state, we don't have rents of 1,600 euro. So landlords are saying, I can take 1,000 euro, which is the average rents in Donegal or, you know, rents in Mayo, or I can actually take a Ukrainian into an empty house and I can get 1,600 euro, and that's paid by the state. We also have a situation, and I made this point to the minister.
What's the basis that you have to believe that people are leaving the rent-a-room scheme that's worth 14,000 and going into the ARP scheme, which is worth almost 5,000 euro less?
No, what I've said is that first of all, the rent a room scheme isn't worth €14,000. That's the threshold in which you claim tax free. It is the rent that is paid by the student at the end of the day in terms of the rent a room scheme. And if you're taking any Ukrainian family, it's €800. What we're saying,
I know,
in terms
but
of our
you mentioned the financial incentive there, that if a landlord wanted to earn more, so surely a landlord, you know, somebody who wants to open their home and earn money is going to opt for the rent a room rather than the ARP scheme.
Colm, you're missing the point here. Let's be clear in terms of the amendments that we put down. If people are opening up their own homes to take in a Ukrainian, we have no issue with that and should be supported. If people are opening their own homes, they should be supported unless they were involved in the rent-a-room scheme previously. I think that's fair. What we are focusing on is the number of homes now that are empty, that should be in the private rental market, that is now competing with other renters, and we have an unfairness here. We also have a situation where we have people, because we know 1/3 of Ukrainians are working, and that is welcome, and they're playing vital roles in the Irish economy. But we also have now a situation where two workers side by side with the same income, with the same family side and same housing need, that one family, because of their nationality, gets the rent paid by the state. And that is not acceptable. Right. And we have that situation in Donegal, where landlords are telling me they will get more money through renting this to a Ukrainian family than others. And that's a serious problem. Right, it's unfair.
There's about 1,100 properties in your own county.
It's gone up actually in the last couple of weeks. It's now 1,200.
Well, the Ukraine Civil Society Forum says there are about 2,190 Ukrainians accommodated in 1,100 homes in Donegal under the ARP. So that's on average two people to the room. So at €800 per room. So the homes that are being opened up are accommodating more than one student. It's potentially keep accommodating a lot more people for less money.
No, let's be clear about this here. This is in Donegal, the average rents are about between €1,000 and €1,200. If you're a landlord with an empty home, thinking of putting it onto the market, there is an incentive. And I understand the incentive from the landlords. There's an incentive to actually lend that to a Ukrainian family as opposed to a non-Ukrainian family. That's just the reality of it. This scheme was never supposed to compete with those competing in the private rental sector. We have people on temporary protection orders here who should not be competing. And if you take Donegal,
I want to get the response from the rest of the panellists as well. James Lawless, Roderick O'Gorman, the minister who oversees the area of integration, has said that this payment is under review. So in the climate that we're in at the moment, is that signalling a potential cut or perhaps action along the lines that Piers Doherty is talking about?
Well, perhaps, but it was under review before and it was increased because initially this payment started out, I think it was at 400 rather than 800 at the start of the crisis. And what happened was people weren't taking it up. People weren't actually making properties available. And as a further incentive, was increased to 800. Now, Piers says that's equivalent to 1,600. I'd say it's probably about 1,400, maybe 1,450. If you presume a 50% marginal tax, which isn't the case and wouldn't be the case for everybody. Anyway, but the point he's making is it's worth more than 800. And I agree with that. But in the cases that I've seen, certainly in Kildare, in my own constituency, first of all, I suppose Piers is talking about rents in Donegal and Mayo. He'll accept, I'm sure, that they're very different to rents in the Greater Dublin area and Leinster.
Absolutely.
So while it may be a little above market rates there, it's well below market rates in Leinster and elsewhere.
What about the point he talks about? That there's a large university in your own constituency in Maynooth. Do you have any evidence to suggest that people are taking rooms out of the rent-a-room scheme that were available to students for digs in Maynooth and offering them instead to Ukrainians?
No, what I've actually seen, and I'm familiar with people that have done this, the situations I've come across are people with maybe old stables that were converted, maybe outhouses, ancillary accommodation, you know, farm buildings, maybe that were used before for agricultural workers, that were out of circulation, that were not available to anybody to stay in full stop, that were locked doors, that were closed. And I've seen people, and to be fair, some of these cases, people said, look, we don't really want money, we just want to make this available. And at the start of the crisis, the likes of the Red Cross and other agencies were inundated with offers like that. There was a slow take-up on those, there was a slow processing to make those available, turn those around. And then the government said, look, we're actually going to try and speed this up and we're going to give something towards it.
Okay, well, that was then, and you say there was an increase when there was a desire to accommodate more people.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Now that you've got the current Taoiseach and a former Taoiseach reflecting what they seem to think is public concern over the numbers arriving here, could it go in the opposite direction? Is a cut being considered?
So let's be clear about that, okay? What the figures tell us about homelessness is that I think 1/3 of single persons entering homelessness are coming through direct provision. So they're applicants for international protection. So just has to be clear about that. Rightly or wrongly, they don't qualify for this scheme. This is a Ukrainian-orientated scheme. So it's apples and oranges. So you can't say, well, just because there's some noise about people in direct provision making up the homeless figures, we should then tweak this scheme.
Right, so the former Taoiseach and the current Taoiseach, you don't agree with the sentiment they're expressing.
No, the figures show very clearly that a significant number of people presenting in homelessness services are international protection applicants. That's not a trend or an ideology. That's a fact. So the Taoiseach is right when he says that a significant number of immigrants...
But just for the benefit of listeners, the number of homeless has quadrupled since 2014. And on average, homeless figures have increased by the same rate since 2014 up until the present. On average, about 1,500 a year over that time. Yep. So why is he highlighting the impact of this now?
And I would know from speaking to charities and people working in the sector that they would say a large percentage of the people now availing of homelessness services are people who have entered the state in recent times. That is fact. And if we look at the stats, if we break it down into the figures, we can see the primary cause of people entering homelessness and taking up state provided emergency accommodation, leaving direct provision was one third, relationship breakdown was 19%, and then there was a variety of other reasons.
But the primary cause, arguably, is the lack of housing and the housing output. When the Nice Treaty was signed and there was free movement of people in the European Union back in 2005, the output was 86,000 per year, and Ireland successfully absorbed an awful lot of people into the labour force and elsewhere.
Yeah,
the difference for these tensions...
The difference is they're working. The difference is the people that came in the Nice Treaty and beyond were coming in as economic contributors. They're coming in to work, to pay taxes, pay PSI, etc.
There's somewhere for them to live, though. You get the difference between an output of 86,000 and under 40,000 for this year, as it appears it will be, that there's a huge difference in the available accommodation, isn't there, simply on the accommodation issue?
So this year, the government is on track to break records again in terms of we had the most social houses constructed in 2022.
You're not going to seriously suggest it's not a factor, are you?
Of course it's a factor, and that's why we talk about a housing crisis.
Well, why not talk about it instead of talking about... Why would the leading political figures in the country not talk about that?
Because I think that it is a contributory factor. Okay. And if we look at the stats tell us one third of people accessing emergency services, and charity people and everything else tell me the same thing, are actually typically people seeking national protection. That's a fact.
Well, I want to start by not agreeing, but amplifying your question. Why now? Why is the Taoiseach and the former Taoiseach, the Minister for Housing and the Minister sitting here, and indeed Piers Doherty of the opposition, why now are they amplifying concern about refugees coming into the country taking up housing? And I believe it's because there's an election happening and they want to play to the lowest common denominator, who are shouting out the loudest in the environment in the run-up to this election. And that slogan is, Ireland is full. Well, I'm sorry. Ireland is still full of empty homes. 166,000 empty homes. Ireland is still full of people who care and who want to help, like those who take in the Ukrainians. But Ireland is also full of hypocrisy. When politicians use the question of migration and balance it against the homeless figures, in whatever way they do it, whatever line you take or twisted sort of argument you run into it, whatever way you do it, it's immoral, it's wrong, and it's opportunistic, and it needs to stop, because what it's doing is it's feeding into the most poisonous narrative that's been in this country for the long time.
Your party has said Europe indeed should take greater numbers of immigration. I think it said on your website in the past that... It could take in a further 2 million people. But the pre-budget submission that you put out this week is absolutely silent on the issue of asylum, immigration, Ukrainians, any of those issues. So surely people, if you want to change the debate, you need to provide solutions. And if you want to provide solutions, you need to show how they're going to be financed.
Well, I think you'll find that a big part of our pre-budget submission, which has received a lot of support from people who appeared on your programme, for example, the other night, is that we would use the Apple tax to create a state construction company to build a huge amount, double the amount of social and affordable homes. And thereby, you deal with the question of migration and everybody in the country who needs a place to live. And we always recognise, and you quote the website, it starts by recognising that migrants make a huge contribution to the economy, that in a Europe of 500 million people, we could easily afford to take 2 million more. We could manage it if we had the political will. The political will is absent. It's certainly absent in the EU with Ursula von der Leyen's fortress euro policy. And it's beginning to sound a bit like that here. And I think that that is a rotten shame, particularly in an atmosphere where houses and hotels, which potentially could have housed people, have been burnt down at the rate of something over 40 of them in the last couple of years through malice, not through kindness, through malice.
All right. Piers Doherty, if an adjustment is made to the ARP scheme that's currently been used to accommodate Ukrainians, where are they going to go if landlords aren't taking them, if they're preferring other people over them? Is this, would this feed into your own party's proposal that a scheme is needed to assist the return of Ukrainians who can go back to Ukraine safely?
Colm, so we've made it clear at the start of the year that the idea of the state putting those fleeing war and persecution should not be put out of state-sponsored accommodation after 90 days. And we said it would put pressure on the private rental sector. And what we're arguing for is fairness here. There is no other worker in the state that gets their rent paid by the state. That's not acceptable in our view. It is about fairness, but it is also about making sure that people who are fleeing war and persecution are protected and supported.
Right. But do you want to answer that charge by Breed Smith? And I'll come to James Lawless on this in a moment, that some of the reason for the discussion of this and some of the reason you said what you said is electioneering.
Look, any time anybody raises anything in relation to migration, then you'll be accused of this here. As I said, this is about, I know people in my constituency who can't get a home. They're calling out the unfairness of this here. I'm their public representative, and that is unfair. And it is unfair. And I have families here who are becoming homeless, and I know the reason why they're coming homeless. I agree with Breed Smith 100%. This is government's fault that they're not building enough social and affordable homes.
Are you passing on people's unhappiness, or are you going digging for the fact in order to give them answers? So, for example, going back to my question earlier, how many people have abandoned the rent-a-room scheme and gone into the ARP scheme?
Well, first of all, the department doesn't have that. And we're saying that people should be able
Why are you saying it's a problem if the department doesn't even have figures on it?
What I'm saying is a problem is that people are renting out empty homes that should be on the rental market, and the state is paying the rent of Ukrainians
for them.
Okay,
but on the specific problem, you're putting down an amendment that says people who leave the rent-a-room scheme shouldn't be able to avail of the ARP scheme. What problem are you trying to solve?
I'm trying to prevent a problem, Colm. That's just a no-brainer situation. I don't want people who were previously renting to students in high-press areas of accommodation to move from there into providing Ukrainian accommodation that is paid by the state. That's just a prevention measure. The real issue here is that there are empty homes across the state that should be on the rental market, that should be available to Ukrainians who are working as well to rent if they so wish. But we have a system where the state pays the rent of those empty homes only for Ukrainians. It is not available to anybody else, and that is not acceptable.
Right.
We need to support
I just want to ask Piers a question. Piers, how would you respond then to people who would get rid of people on HAP and take in Ukrainians? Because HAP is paid for by the state. And as you know, and I know, and all politicians know, anybody on the housing list is entitled to HAP. And most people who are being looked after through so-called social housing measures are on HAP payments these days. So how do you distinguish between HAP payments and payments to people looking after Ukrainians?
Well, first of all, Bridge, that the person who is working out there in the economy, and as I said, playing vital roles in terms of their role in the economy, and they could be earning on good money, they could be physiotherapists, they could be doctors, and they are still able to get state-sponsored support in terms of their rent. That is not fair, and there is nobody in that type of profession, as I gave an example earlier on, that would be able to avail of either council housing or that type of support. And indeed, and you know as well, even in terms of council housing, those that are with the lowest incomes in society also have to make a contribution to their rent. And that's something that's always been made very clear in terms of the rent. This is about issues of fairness. Of course we have to provide accommodation, but we have to also make sure that we are not tipping the scales in relation to one set of individuals another. And that's what this is, and that's what we argued from February. I raised this again in July, and I've been proven correct that what we have seen over the last number of months is a massive increase in the number of accommodations that are coming on stream as a result of this.
Okay. Plenty of Irish people who are taking HAP are also working. Who are entitled to HAP are also working.
Absolutely.
I don't see the distinction.
Absolutely. And we believe Ukrainians should be in state-supported accommodation.
Only very briefly, James.
Out of 19 EU countries that record construction stats, Ireland are tearing ahead. We're at 6.9 new commencements per 1,000
people. To be fair, the pointed issue earlier was the difference between 86,000 in 2005 and under 40,000 now. Regardless, you know,
2005. 2005 is 20 years ago. Like, that's a long time ago. We're building more social houses than 1975. But if we want to go doing history, we have never built more social houses before. Back to
the point was on the capacity of the country to be able to.
And the other point I would put to Pierce, why are these houses vacant?
We're going to take a break. We're back in a minute.
Saturday with Colm O'Mungon on RTE Radio 1.